This is a podcast from RTE Radio 1.
Hello and welcome to Audioscope. You may have noticed that we've moved to medium wave and don't have the same FM slot in the evening that we had before the summer. Well, after the summer, I met up with Joe Bollard, a regular contributor, the Chief Executive Officer of NCBI, Des Kenny, Avril Daly from Fighting Blindness, and in the Cork studio, Neil Ashworth, the Client Services Manager from Irish Guide Dogs for the Blind. I began by asking Joe Bollard how important Audioscope is for blind and vision impaired people.
Most people today can get their information from newspapers, magazines, what have you. Blind and vision impaired people will need a radio to give them information or to give them regular, up-to-the-minute information. And I think a programme such as Audioscope is essential, and I think it's necessary for blind and vision impaired people. That's for the blind and vision impaired people. The other side of the coin is that it is also a great help for making people aware of what blind people are, who they are, what they can do, and what they can't do. And I think a programme such as Audioscope is really not just a hobby, it's essential for blind and vision impaired people.
Because they say that disability isn't a hobby, it's what you live with. And I suppose other programmes might talk about things that are more hobbies, whereas Audioscope is about whole lives. I suppose another thing that I would have been aware of as presenting Audioscope in the last while is that we do have to be so aware of the sighted people and blind people and the variety of listeners mm-hmm. that we have. Avril, you were also from Fighting Blindness, and I suppose something that happened over the summer was that many of the organisations came together in support and in the need for such a programme. Fighting Blindness was one of those. Why did you feel that it was important that a programme like Audioscope remains?
I think it's very important for us to remember that there are people who are visually impaired in this country who don't have access to computer technology. They're not able to get on the internet and find out information in that capacity. When you're watching something on the TV, if you're visually impaired, you're not completely included in the broadcast. I mean, you are missing parts of the information. And I think radio is the most inclusive form of media at the moment for people who are visually impaired. And it's giving information on right around the country, things that are happening around the country. There are people living in rural areas and in parts of the country that are quite isolated, and they depend on Audioscope for information. I know certainly members of our organisation do, and it was wonderful to hear that it was coming back, because it is, you know, it's essential. It's essential to the visually impaired community. And I think just picking up on what Joe has said in relation to people who aren't visually impaired, but possibly are either family members of people who are visually impaired or know people who are visually impaired, they get to learn an awful lot more about the conditions, about what the realities of life with visual impairment is. And that's very important, because in my experience, specifically over the summer, I learned that there is a lot of misconception around visual impairment, and this is a wonderful way of educating everybody.
Neil, Guide Dogs were supportive of Audioscope as well, for similar reasons?
I think so. I think our clients obviously were very supportive of the need for Audioscope, and we were, responded to that by supporting our clients' needs. And I think I'd agree with Joe. It's clear that there is a need out there, purely from an information point of view, to retain a programme like Audioscope, but also because a programme like Audioscope not only educates and informs people, but generates discussion and debate. And only with discussion and debate can you move things on.
And I remember the chairperson of the board of directors of Irish Guide Dogs for the Blind saying that when he was on the programme, we did a programme about the anniversaries last year, and he was saying that he was astonished by the number of people that contacted him, sighted people, that he kind of wondered, well, I didn't realise you listened to Audioscope, or why are you listening to it, that it was of general interest to sighted people. That's the experience of the chair of Irish Guide Dogs for the Blind. Does NCBI was probably pivotal in, I suppose, the part of the campaign or part of the discussions about Audioscope?
I think if we take the arguments as advanced as to the importance of Audioscope as a given, that, and I don't say that lightly, I think what Joe and Neil and Avril outlines is the true case, and it's probably an understatement of its importance. What would have upset me then more was the this growing philosophy that somehow disability is a broad category and that we can all be lumped into one program.
Yes.
Like outside the box, and that's not to take from outside the box. I think there are some things that are common to us, but there are things that are specific for argument. If we want to talk about changes in the Braille code, we can talk about it here within the family of service users who will understand what we're talking about. Or if you want to talk about the merits at different times of a cane over a guide dog, we can talk about that here. But in the broad context of say disability radio, I don't think that fits in. And then also the feeling that we would become part of general broadcasting, that should happen, and I don't think you needed to see a demise of AudioScope for that to happen. So I would have found difficulty with the logic that was abandoning us into general disability program and then into the big intake of the motherhood and apple pie of radio that would care about us.
There was a view that kind of relates in some ways to Avril's point, that because radio is the only real accessible medium for blind and vision impaired people, then there's no need for any specific programme because blind and vision impaired people's needs are catered for across the whole of the radio spectrum. An awful lot of people that contacted, an awful lot of people that spoke up on various ways within the blind and vision impaired community, and I suppose in the sighted community as well, disagreed with that. Why is that not the case? Why is it not sufficient to just include blind issues?
Well, can I just say that in listening to radio, I just wonder, listening to radio generally and across the many stations that are here in Ireland alone, I wonder from Monday morning, we'll say at 7 o'clock, until the following Sunday night at 12 o'clock, apart from AudioScope, How often would you hear mention of a blind person or a blind situation? I wonder if you asked yourself, how often would you hear that?
Another blind person actually said to me that, he said, well, how many hours of radio do I have to listen to hear what's happening?
The one piece that's relevant to you, exactly.
Is that something that your service users or members of Fighting Blindness would have experienced?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, it's rare to hear something about visually impaired people in regular programming. And unless it's something, you know, that's out of the ordinary, it's not going to be reported on generally. And so therefore, you know, our members and our community are missing out if they were to rely on it solely.
Some 10 years ago, we did a bit of surveying in NCBI to discover that it took people from 7 to 12 years after the onset of significant sight loss for them to make approaches to agencies. So in that interim period, AudioScope and program, you know, this kind of program could be the beginning of a jolt to them to actually go and do something. And if we were to use the programme constructively like that into the future, we could probably see more people approach the services, because I think people will listen in. They will find the corner of solace and consolation, and then they will start to make decisions about it, because we have a lot of people out there who are not part of the agency structures.
I think that's a good point, Desna. I think Avril made the point earlier that, you know, the services that are out there for people who are blind and vision impaired may not be accessible to those people because they're simply unaware of them. And a programme like AudioScope, you know, should really have the mantle there to carry those facts there and inform people, educate people, and not only the people that we represent, but to, you know, to feed back to our own services and the organisations like ourselves, you know, to tell us where we're going right and where we're going wrong, really.
I think also it's important for people who are newly diagnosed with a condition or if they've just acquired a visual impairment, that they realise that they're not alone, that there is a community out there that can help. That's been very important to our members, certainly. And I think that's something that we can grow in the future.
Can I just say here that in the very beginning of AudioScope, when it was way, way back,
then called Listeners.
The idea, it used to be on at 6 o'clock on a Sunday, which was a wonderful time to be on because people were listening to it on their way home from the beach or on their way home from the match. And you'd be surprised how informed people became over 2 to 3 years and how the then presenter, Jim Sherwin, was able to inform people and let them know not just that blind people could ski across a lake or they could just ride tandem, but all that was available to them. And that's where Audioscope still stands today, to let people know what is available to them when they've lost their sight.
What would the ideal future of Audioscope be?
I think the programme has to, we have to look at the programme. In part, I feel we probably were to blame in Audioscope going off air. I think it has fallen out of our radar for probably a bit of time. We should never have allowed it drop to 15 minutes. The programme running at a 25-minute tilt in the early days and dropping back to maybe 15 minutes was probably lack of concern on our part, that we weren't giving it the time, the attention that it needed
and
deserved.
On the part of the
organisations. Yeah.
Those of us here find it very difficult. You know, we're discussing something and already we're running out of time.
Mm. Yes, exactly. That is the point. I mean, 15 minutes is not an awful lot of time once a week, I think, for all of the issues and all of the concerns that we have and the amount of information that we can, you know, impart to people who are listening.
So how should Audioscope progress into the future?
I think it has to go back to being in a more expanded programme, and it probably has to be more current affairs than magazine, mm-hmm. I would say.
Avril?
I would agree. I would agree that it needs to go back to a longer format, and I think that the organisations like ourselves would probably need to input more. And I suppose as Des said, that's up to us to do that. I think that's very important because we do have an awful lot to say and an awful lot coming up that we need to talk about. So that's the way I see it developing.
And Neil, how do you see it?
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I think more programmes like this one, Bethan, would be the way forward.
Joe, as a blind person, as opposed to sort of a regular contributor to Audioscope and somebody who really has the finger to the pulse in the blind community, what do you think Audioscope should be doing in the future?
Well, I certainly think it should stay away from the Wonder Man or Wonder Woman blind person. I think we should steer clear of that, and I think there should be more discussion programmes. We should have more panels on matters that matter to blind and vision impaired people. And I think that the idea of the programme being 15 minutes is, in my view, totally ridiculous. What can you do in 15 minutes? I just think that the future of Audioscope depends on blind people.
And blind people's contributions. Some of those things we can certainly bear in mind in the format that we have at the moment, the time that we have and the time slot that we have. So we certainly will, and I will sort of personally commit that we will work with organisations and hopefully have discussions bearing in mind, as Joe has said, that 15 minutes is very tight. 15 minutes is incredibly tight, or just less than 15 minutes, and we've actually run out of all those 15 minutes. So thank you all very much for a different type of a discussion, yet I think it's one that it is a subject that matters to blind and vision impaired people, Joe.
Very much so.
Thank you very much, Joe Bollard, Des Kenny, Chief Executive of the National Council for the Blind of Ireland, Avril Daly from Fighting Blindness, and Neil Ashworth, Client Services Manager of Irish Guide Dogs for the Blind. That's it for this week. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to a podcast from RTE Radio 1. For more details of our podcasts, visit rte.ie/radio1.